Apologies for that delay. We've become aware that unless I'm using this mic, we're not able to record the sermons, and the batteries were about to die. So rather than having screeching and all of that in the midst of the sermon, not caused by me, thought it wiser to go on and change the batteries. So many a preacher, including me from time to time, takes the tact toward preparing a sermon by finding the most challenging piece of biblical text amongst the text for the day, the one that is going to trip up the listener and cause them to totally miss everything else that the preacher might say. Unfortunately, today, there are so many of those lines in the text that we have heard that there's absolutely no possibility of my addressing all of them, even if I were to preach from now until noon. So instead, I'm going to take the easy way out and return to the first lines of the reading from Exodus and turn aside along with Moses to contemplate his experience of the burning bush. And in doing so, it just might help all of us as we grapple with the very perplexing epistle text as well as the gospel text. The idea of turning aside to experience the awe and wonder of God is at the heart of a short poem by the 20th century Welsh poet and priest R.S. Thomas. His poem, The Bright Field. I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while, and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside like Moses to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. A clergy friend of mine who happens to be Welsh introduced me to this poem 3 years ago, and it was the centerpiece of my sermon on the third Sunday of Lent. I spoke then of a much more typical turning aside moment, more akin to what R.S. Thomas is speaking of in his poem, when I was alert enough at that time to notice some early blooming daffodils, which at the end of February in Cleveland, it is quite astounding to see daffodils. But this time around, on reflecting on this poem, I have a rather different reflection on turning aside. On Friday afternoon past, I turned aside from my usual Friday afternoon, day off, routine kinds of tasks to go to the mosque in Clifton. Jenna Whitty, one of our newer members, met me there, so we shared this experience. It was important for me to make the time to turn aside to worship with our Muslim cousins in the faith, to show them that at least some Christians are willing to stand with them in this time of anguish and grief. Now, for Muslims, worship is always an experience similar to what Moses did in turning aside when he noticed that the bush was burning but not consumed. The worship space in every mosque is holy ground, and so footwear is removed before entering, just as God commanded Moses to remove his sandals before approaching the bush. The ethereal chanting of the Arabic opening prayers by the muezzin took me to another world. And then Imam Ismail began to preach, and I was not prepared for the message that he delivered. He spoke about how his community, the Muslim community of the Clifton Mosque, needs to practice being the kinds of neighbors that they hope that their neighbors will be to them. He encouraged them to invite their neighbors to come and visit for tea or coffee or dinner, or to come to the mosque for worship with them. And it was a message that brought me up short, for most of the mosque's worshipers there are immigrants coming from a multitude of different countries for whom this is a foreign land. If anyone should be reaching out to neighbors, it should be us, especially in these days after Muslims are feeling so vulnerable following the murders in New Zealand during worship. I was particularly conscious as we knelt in prayer at the end of the service with our foreheads touching the floor of just what a vulnerable and humble position it is, which is, of course, the reason why they assume that posture for prayer. I have no idea what percentage of the members of that mosque feel on a regular basis that they are vulnerable, that they are targets for the hatred, violence, and fear of others on a regular basis. But I suspect that it is a lot of them. And what I do know is that the vast majority of us gathered in this holy space today are native-born Americans who are Caucasian. We are part of the dominant religious tradition of this country. And yet, the imam is telling his people to be the kind of neighbors that they all hope we all will be in return. It held a mirror up to my face that made me look at my own response to neighbors. It made me reflect on what it means to repent, or as the Common English Bible more accurately translates it, to change our hearts and our lives. The gospel raises questions for us about past events known to those first century Palestinians listening to the text, the Galileans who were killed at the temple by the tyrant Pilate, and those who were killed by a poorly built tower when it fell over. And Jesus then goes on to tell the parable of the unproductive fig tree, leading to a reflection on the possibility of future salvation. But what R.S. Thomas's poem does for us is to make the point that we can only experience the grandeur of God, the fullness of God's presence in this world, when we are living in the present. If, as Thomas says, we are hurrying on to a receding future or hankering after an imagined past, we will probably not notice the burning bush and we will not hear God's call to us. We are called to focus on what is happening right now, rather than being consumed with regrets about the past, either our individual past or that of our ancestors. There's a difference between living with regrets, the woulda, coulda, shouldas of our lives, and searching for meaning for the suffering that we and others experience in this broken world. The latter is essential to being emotionally whole. Living in the past is not. We also can't be anxious or fearful about the future. There's a difference between worrying about what might happen and being intentional in planning as best as we can based on what we know right now. Of course, not doing the latter is irresponsible. But in all of that, we are called to live in this moment. The call from God from the burning bush is that call to change our hearts and our lives now, to focus on the present, on what it is that we can do right here and right now to bear fruit. One way that we might do that is to be more intentional in being better neighbors, individually and as a congregation. Turning aside to see how God is being revealed right here and right now, as Jenna and I did on Friday in showing up at a mosque, is the starting point for bearing fruit in the future. As we move deeper into this Lenten season, I urge you to make time and space to turn aside. You'll be amazed at how many burning bushes appear in your path. Amen.